Australian farmers have long claimed to be the most efficient in the world, but can they continue to reign supreme as the financial screws tighten and research spending declines? Mick Keogh of the Australian Farm Institute has just completed an international tour assessing how our agricultural research compares with three other major farm economies.
We had a look at the system in the US. A lot of people point to the land grant research and extension system in the US as sort of the Roll Gold model. It's under similar sorts of pressure to the systems in Australia. It does integrate the universities and the researchers a lot more closely into the system and into contact with growers, which I think is something that doesn't happen here in Australia. We've had a look in Brazil, which of course has a booming sector in the cropping industries, and it's pretty much driven by private advisors, private research and private advisors, and of course there's a lot of varieties owned by the biotech companies that are driving that. We also had a look at Denmark, which has a completely privatised system, so there's no government funding of extension services. It's all privatised. It's helped a little by the fact that there's obviously substantial EU subsidies available, and that assists producers in paying for the services that they obtain. But it really is a model there where growers, producers pay for their own advice and are selective about who they get to provide it, and that's a different model again.
So whilst farmers here complain about the savage cuts to R&D from governments here, it's a global reality.
Certainly, I think so. I think the biggest change, of course, is that information is now instantly accessible and universally available. You could be a grower here in Australia sourcing information that's provided by the US government or anywhere in the world, and that has dramatically changed the things because, of course, it used to be your local extension officer that was the provider and the conduit of that information.
Now, a lot of Australian farmers would actually say they'd rather pay for advice, that they're more accountable and that they're more professional. Is that what you saw overseas?
Certainly that's the case. When you talk to the leading farmers, they regard it as part and parcel of their business operation that they need technical advice, and that's a cost that they understand that they need to pay for. That's the difference between a more public extension service versus sourcing private advisors.
Now, one thing that stuck in my head from what you've said is a boom in cropping in Brazil. How is that? Is it a catch-up thing? Are they starting from a low base or are they doing it better than us?
It's a mix of things. Brazil did a lot of work, and here it was a government research agency, did a lot of work on adapting the soybean to tropical areas. So most of the Brazilian cropping area is north of the Tropic of Capricorn, and there was a lot of work by the government in adapting crop varieties to those areas. But once they'd done that, huge amounts of land, all of it in what we would call high rainfall zones with very even temperature and all that sort of agronomic stuff. And they can grow up to three crops a year on the same block of land there. So that's where the real expansion has occurred. And of course, the demand side of that is China. China's become a major, major importer of soybeans. It services both their human consumption and pork and poultry needs as well.
With it being such a success story, is there something to be learned from that that we could attempt to duplicate here? Obviously, we don't have the same growing systems, but at very least the fact that the government led the research?
Yeah, I think it highlights that at the fundamental level, so at the basic level, when things are getting started, it really often requires governments to get things going. So, for example, you could imagine if we were developing agriculture in northern Australia, it will require some public research to get the right basics in place, get the systems going. Beyond that, when the commercial companies come in, they are fairly fleet of foot in servicing the needs of the industry as it emerges.
If they can see there's money in it.
So they're generating money from it. They're commercially responsive to what the industry needs.
Australian farmers seem to be pretty sceptical about how their money is invested and used for research. They never seem to be entirely happy with farmer organisations. Is there a model where it works, where there's a farmer levy that goes to research that seems to be satisfactory?
I think it varies around the world, and I think there's a bit of a cultural thing there as well. For example, if you look at Denmark, they pay levies. They also all pay membership fees to their farmer organisation, and that provides the extension service, which they also pay for. And so there's a very strong culture in Denmark of doing things collectively because, of course, they're a very small country on the tip of Europe that exports to the rest of Europe. That's the only way they can be successful. Brazil, I think in some respects, it's a bit like Australia. I think the the larger scale commercial growers in Brazil are fairly sceptical of the role of government. I think they acknowledge that to get them started, yes, the government had a quite important role, but beyond that, it's been the commercial providers that have been the main drivers.
Yes, it's that fine balance, isn't it? Because if you don't have government funding for research that may not necessarily make a profit in the short term, you don't really know what you're missing out on, so to speak.
That's right, and particularly around sustainable rotations, the issue of resistance to things like bacteriothuringiosis, so the BT crops, you know, the cotton BT is an insect-resistant GM cotton. There's signs emerging all around the world that resistance starting to occur. Now, who's going to pick up the cudgels on that and put some real money into working out systems that avoid that problem getting any bigger?
So as the leading agricultural think tank, what do you think we should be doing here?
I think we do have to secure our capacity to carry out research and provide independent advice. I think that is important. I don't know that government employed and operated extension services are that successful anymore anywhere around the world, and I wonder whether there's not some sort of a model in between whereby we do rely on private service providers, but they do have access to information of an objective nature from an independent, if you like, research sector.
Where do farmer organisations fit in with this?
Well, it's interesting. Overseas, they play a very strong role in facilitating. In fact, in Denmark, the main provider of extension and to some degree research services is in fact the farm organisation. They have a very strong culture there of belonging to that organisation, and it's developed to a position where it has a very strong role in being that objective provider of information. Perhaps there is a role for some Australian organisations there, given the way things are going here.
What about the Cooperative Research Centre model as it stands in Australia? Now, there do seem to be some problems with funding running out. They don't have a guaranteed future. It must make it difficult to make investment decisions if they don't know if they're going to exist in a few more years.
Yes, all the jurisdictions we looked at have that sort of model of one sort or another. They regard it as necessary to provide a bit of longer-term funding, a bit of security, and to bring various different agencies together on a common issue or a common development. Everyone struggles with a balance between how long do we make this funding available so that we give them security to get on and do the research versus at what point you have to pull the pin and say, well, it's not going anywhere, terminate that and get on with something else.
Executive Director of the Australian Farm Institute, Mick Keogh. And that's the Country Breakfast for this week. Details of all our stories, rural news, photos and how to get a podcast of the program are on our website. That's at abc.net.au/rural. Thanks for joining the Rural Team this morning, and a big thank you to Carey Dell, our technical producer. On RN, I'm Libby Price. Talk to you soon.